Well, as I was preparing the message, I came across the scripture, Romans 8:37 says, that yet in all we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him that loves us. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that cool? That Jesus died so we can be more than conquerors. But if I were to ask the question, and you don't have to answer, that how many of you actually really feel like more than conquerors today? Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. It's been Thanksgiving. It's Christmas time. Christmas time comes with a lot of things. Past memories, present things. Do we have enough money to buy presents? Do we have enough money to do this and that, pay the bills? So that verse that we're more than conquerors, the Holy Spirit showed me that a lot of times we don't necessarily feel more than conquerors. And then I went to Romans 8:29, and it says, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We were chosen by God with the express purpose that He might shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. So if we're more than conquerors, or supposed to be, but God formed us to be like Jesus. He formed us to be in the image of Jesus. Everybody with me? Yeah. Well, at times that can get kind of like, oh, wow. I'm supposed to be more than a conqueror. God's going to whittle me down. He's going to chisel me into being the image of Jesus. When we start thinking about that, is that going to be an overnight process? No. When God starts trying to form us into the image of Jesus, that's a lifetime thing, y'all. That's a lifetime thing. So one thing that I want to talk about, the main thing I want to talk about this morning, is the title of this message. So I get that in there because I forget. It's called Embrace the Plateau. It's pretty catchy, isn't it? Embrace the Plateau. So what does that mean? Well, I really got to study. And you know, when we preach to ourselves. So it's nothing that I'm not going through or been through or anything else, or my wife and I are going through. But sometimes that it's, oh, what's that? Let's do this. We want to be interactive. I don't want any of you getting sleepy this morning. So how many of you, and it's okay to admit this, how many of you have ever been on a diet before? Raise your hands. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, see, most of us have. I have. Yeah, yeah. So when you're dieting, you know, because my wife would get mad at me because when we used to do that in the old days, we're just on a lifetime now. It's not a diet. It's the way we eat healthy. But when we used to do that, I would like drop weight, boom. I'd lose 10 pounds in a week and a half, you know, and she's lost 2 or 3. And it used to drive her crazy. It's like, this is just not fair. And I said, I know, but I don't mean to do it on purpose. I mean, I do, but I don't. But as we've all been on that diet, and the more that you get into that diet, you lose, and then all of a sudden what happens? You quit losing. You hit that plateau. Yeah. Or if you're in sales, man, and sales are doing this, sooner or later, those sales plateau. It's like a church. When we grow, but then when we get to that plateau, we get to a plateau, even growth in church. You hit a plateau. What does that mean? I mean, like, a lot of people look at a plateau as that's a bad thing, right? I mean, like, well, I'm at a plateau. I don't know what to do. I mean, what do I do? Right? See, a plateau is not a bad thing. Spiritual plateau. You've been working. You've been studying. It doesn't matter if you're a new believer or you're an older believer. Older, not necessarily an age, just longer time. That you've been studying and believing. Man, and God's doing these things in your life, and boom, and boom, and boom, and boom. And man, it's just like going good, and then all of a sudden, oh, what happened? It just I'm still studying. I'm still doing this. I'm still doing what I always did. But God, what happened? What happened? So that's what I want to talk about today. A plateau, I think it's really important that we establish a definition for plateau. Dictionary says plateau is the land area, relatively level surface. Listen to this. Raised. Everybody say raised. That's right. Above joining land. Now, because when we realize what a plateau is, it has valleys all the way around the plateau, at least on two or three sides of wherever it is. So it's a raised thing. Is an elevated thing a bad thing? No. It's okay, y'all know. Yeah, thank you. No. A plateau just means that we have gotten to a certain point, that you have grown, that you've been studying, that you've been believing, that you've been working at your spiritual life, and you've got here. And then spiritually, when we get to that plateau, sometimes we go, oh, I guess God doesn't hear me anymore. I guess he doesn't like the way I pray anymore. No. See, that spirit, that plateau. Here's the second definition. It says a level, stable period or condition. Okay, so I asked you this. Is stable sound bad to y'all? No. Absolutely not. I know some people I pray for that'd be more stable. Please. Right? Y'all do too. You probably have people in your family that you pray for more stable. Let's be stable. See, stable is that you've reached that plateau, whether you're dieting. Howdy will tell you, Howdy's one of these he-man, you know, he lifts weights. But he'll tell you that you lift weights for a while and there comes to a point, right, Howdy? That you get to that plateau and then you have to do something when you get to that plateau. What I want to tell you today is that being in that plateau is not a bad thing, y'all. Because what happens during this plateau is that it's a time that you don't grow here, you grow here. Okay, everybody with me? Some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. While we're on that plateau, spiritually, we may not be doing this, we're doing this. Our roots are going deeper and deeper and deeper during this spiritual time, this plateau. So that when those things start coming against you, like Pastor Corey talked about, the deception and the distraught and the enemy slinging all this stuff at you, then during that plateau, your roots are going stronger and stronger and stronger. And then when those deception and the distractions and all that comes against you, it's like, no, devil, I've got time for you. You get away from me. In Jesus' name. You see, that's what happens, but we have to be cautious, not careful, cautious, or aware that when you're in that spiritual plateau, you don't just quit doing anything, right? Because when you get on that plateau, you know, okay, well, God's not answering prayers. He's not done. I'm done. I'm not. No. Because if you'll stop and think back to the day before, you were still on that climb that God was doing everything for you, right? Yeah. And then you hit that plateau. I have to use one of the neatest analogies I heard. I heard a young minister the other day, and he was talking about, you could tell he'd been in the ministry all his life. He was about 24, 25, and he said, I didn't choose ministry, it chose me. My parents were in the ministry. I've just been in ministry, so I don't know anything else. But he was talking about when Peter walked on the water. And this is what I'm talking about. He said that Peter had believed to walk on the water. He prayed to walk on the water. And it wasn't God that asked him to walk on the water. Peter asked. And God said, come on. So Peter stepped out. But soon he got his answer to the prayer. He took that one step. It was good. But then what happened? He quit thinking about Jesus. He had to have help. See, that's what happens when we get on a spiritual plateau. If we're not still thinking about Jesus, then those things that are coming against us are going to make a dent in us. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But see, isn't that cool? Because I never thought, because Peter quit thinking about Jesus. So when you pray for something, once you get what you've been praying for, do you quit thinking about it then? Hey, you know what? I'm not afraid. I've done it before. I'll admit it. Man, when I've been believing for something and believing for something, and when you finally get it because you've worked and you've studied and then you get there. Isn't it great feeling when God does that and He blesses you? But then after that blessing, it's kind of like, no biggie. I got what I was praying for. Don't get quiet on me, y'all. Yeah. Whoa, y'all getting quiet now. Hey, I'm just a messenger. Do we do that, though? That we're working. And that's what I'm talking about today. Y'all turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Ooh, Jesus. Embrace those plateaus. 2 Corinthians 3. See, because as I was setting this up, I was talking about God predestined us to be formed in the image of Jesus, right? Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image." Everybody say, same image. Amen. "From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So as we are being transformed to that same image, what Romans told us, transformed into the figure of Jesus, and glory to glory. Now, if we just break that up for just a second, it doesn't say that we stay in glory, does it? It's talking about from one glory to another glory. So see, what happens in between those? It can be a spiritual plateau, y'all. But in order to get to that next glory, are you staying in the Word? Are you doing the Word? Are you walking the Word? Did you pray for something, get it, and then you forgot about you're not as hot as you were in the Word, and now it's not because you don't really have something to be just moving for, you know? Yeah. But let's go into chapter 4 because I want y'all to see this because this is important. Chapter 4 says, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Listen to it in the Amplified. "Therefore, since we do hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God, granting us favor, benefits, opportunities, and especially salvation." Somebody ought to say amen to that. "We do not get discouraged, spiritless, and despondent with fear, or become faint with weariness and exhaustion." See, when we understand that we're going from glory to glory, and what happens in between is just as important. Everybody say important. Yeah, it's just as important in between glory and glory as glory is. Because how do you get to glory if you're not doing the stuff in between the glories? Amen? Y'all listen to this in the Passion. I love it. It says we can draw, same verse, "We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Amen? Did y'all hear that? That when we're going from one level of glory to another, and this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord. So as we are going from glory to glory, what are we doing with that plateau? We want to be like, I'm going to use this example, and I hope that it's, I just fell in love with Moses the other day. In Exodus 33, I was reading about when he went up and he saw Jesus or God, and he talked to God, and he asked God, he wanted to see God. God said, no man can see my face, but stand here in this cleft of this rock. I'm going to put my hand over here and block it so that you'll only see me after I walk by, because no man can see my face. So he does that. And then in chapter 34, he talks about that when he came down off the mountain, people couldn't look at him because he was glowing, because he had the glory of the Lord on him. But guess what? It doesn't say that he even knew it. Hallelujah. But see, do we not get that way? When we've got all this glory that we've been working for, that next level. And we get to that next level, and we go start feeling I'm not saying y'all, I'm telling you, Ricky. I felt sorry before for myself, you know? When it just like kind of gets like, it's tough. And I'm like, well, I don't guess what I've been doing is working, you know? But see, Moses didn't even know he was glowing. We don't even know we're glowing. Other people know you're glowing. See, what you've worked to get to that glory, and then when we hit that plateau, if we embrace that plateau and we stay in the Word of God and we're loving on people, you're shining, y'all. God's shining in you. His glory is shining in you, but you don't necessarily see it. I mean, like, I look in my mirror. I mean, people like you... We've had instances where people go, man, there's something different about you. So I look in the mirror and go, no, more gray hair, but we don't see that shining in us, but other people do. So when we get to that plateau, do you start going whining and cause it's, well, all now it's all the fun and games are off because you got what you prayed for, or what you were studying for, or what you were working for. But when we get to that plateau, we have to understand that it's from level to level to level to level. And you think, it's like I said, God transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ is not going to happen overnight. Not going to happen. It's a lifetime thing. Y'all turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And go down to we're going to be in verse 16. So at the end of 2 Corinthians, where we were at, it said that the Lord is Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. Spirit, that's right. So here in Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, if we're going from glory to glory, we're not going to be walking in the flesh. See, we always deal with that flesh and the Spirit. But if you're in the Word, you're going to be able to fight off the flesh. Yeah, there's fleshy things can be fun, but they don't last. And so if we're walking in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. I like that because it says, do not do the things that you wish. Have y'all seen that little deal that's been passed around on Facebook? And it really makes sense. And it says that five things that doesn't say in the Bible, like follow your heart. Nowhere in the Bible does it say follow your heart. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're happy. You can make yourself happy. Nowhere in the Bible says that. See, that's what that reminds me of. Is we don't do what we wish. We do what God's will for our life is. And then you'll have the joy of the Lord. Amen? If we're walking in what God intends us to walk on, whatever your calling is not necessarily up here ministering the gospel. But however, your calling is, and every one of our calling is to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyone in here. Are you doing that? Are we fulfilling our calling wherever we're at? If we're doing construction, if we're teaching school, if we're painting a fence, if we're fixing hair, if we're doing nails, whatever, I don't know. Are you fulfilling your call? See, that's what we're supposed to do. So that when we hit those plateaus, we haven't quit. We're still walking in the Spirit. We're walking with God. And what a great explanation of how we are really supposed to be as Christians. It doesn't say we're supposed to run with God, right? It doesn't say that we're supposed to jog with God. However, when I run, I still run with God. Or He runs with me, I don't know. But it's our walk with God. And what a perfect explanation when we stop and think about it is what we're supposed to do with God. Because a walk implies that it's one step, two steps, three steps, one step at a time, y'all. One step. We don't get in a hurry. And when we get to that plateau, when things are happening, if we're walking with God and we're not running, then we're locked in with God. We don't have to panic. When we get to that plateau, you know what? How many of you have rhythm? Few of you. Okay, wrong question. I set myself up for that one, didn't I? But y'all know me, I have hope. It reminds me of that song. Remember, some of y'all a lot of y'all are probably too young, but Johnny Cash had one, Get Rhythm. Well, so it kind of has something to do with the sermon. But when you hit that spiritual plateau, it's a time of that you've been crawling up that to get to that next level. And when you hit that plateau, you can get a rhythm, y'all. You can get going. Because when you walk one step at a time, it means that you're doing it on purpose. You see, when you walk with God one step, two steps, you're just doing it one step at a time. And when you walk always implies, nobody said you're going backward. When you walk, you always think what? I'm walking forward, right? Man, isn't that good? That our walk with God, we're walking in the Spirit. We're one step at a time. We get to the plateau. We don't have to panic because we trust God. We trust that plateau is where we're supposed to be at this given time. See, just because you've got there and all of a sudden that things are just like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, I looked at myself in the back, just what y'all did. Here, I'll do this. But when we're walking with God, it takes all the panic. It takes all the guesswork. It takes out all of that other stuff, y'all. It takes away all that stuff. Go back to how church started this morning after the music. Y'all know that feeling that we all had? That you could tell the Spirit was here? See, when we get to that plateau and we embrace that plateau, that's the feeling, just like we had this morning. Don't you want to have that feeling all the time? Oh, my Lord. I do. I'm in. I'm all in. Count me in. I want what God has. I love that feeling. Oh, my. So peaceful. Nothing was on my mind. The message was not on my mind. Outside was not on my mind. I could just feel this warmth, y'all. Don't you want that all the time? Man, that's the way we're supposed to walk with God. And when we get to that plateau, what do? You take a breath. You take a breath because you've been busting it. If you're Howdy, man, you've been lifting 250 pounds an arm, you know, and you get that plateau and it's time to rest. It's time to plateau, right? Yeah, you breathe. Man, you walk. Oh, thank you, Father. You get to be grounded. It's a time that, like I said, those roots start digging in the ground. so that when that next attack, because you're going to have another attack. I don't know. If you hadn't been in Christianity very long, I'm not being the bearer of bad news, but you will have attacks from the enemy. And just when you think everything's going good, he's going to come at you. Are you prepared? That's what that plateau does. That plateau says, oh yeah, he's got those roots down deep. So when that devil comes at me, talk to the hand, baby. Talk to the hand. I ain't listening to you. You just go on and get back under my feet, just like the Bible says. Amen? That's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. Okay, so I'm closing, kind of. So I said, embrace the plateau. And I know some of y'all, I got this one day, said, well, you tell us what's wrong. You just don't ever tell us how to fix it. We do too, you just don't take notes. But you know what, really and truly, it's okay, because Pastor Corey and I were talking one day, and he said the neatest thing, which I'm like, why didn't I think of that? That's because he's a pastor and I'm not. But he said, go back and watch what I ministered on. I went, oh, wow, we can do that. I forgot. Because here's the thing, when he's preaching, I'm taking notes. And sometimes I get caught up on a point, you know, so I miss what he just said. And then I'm looking at my wife, and she won't let me cheat off her sheet, and it gets ugly. But he goes, Ricky, it's online. You can, you know. So when you're here, that's something that when you come and you got stuff out of it, but you go, you know what, I missed something. Go back and watch it again. Man, it's good stuff that you can go back and watch that. So here's how, five or six things. How to embrace the plateau. Number one, wait with patience. Now that's an ugly word. I know the P word is patience is ugly. But one thing we have to learn is that it's when we're waiting with patience, we do it God's way. Because it's a lot easier with God waiting than if Ricky does it. Because that's miserable. You know, because most of us are like, I mean, it's an instant gratification society now, right? I mean, the telephone, you order something from Amazon and you get up in the morning and it's at the gate. So, but when we're waiting, we have to wait with patience, and we have to do it God's way because it's a lot easier. Amen? Because in James 1:4 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lack nothing. Number two, accept God's timing. I saw some of y'all cringe, but he knows, not us. You know it? He knows. He knows everything. He knows the number of hairs on your head. If he does that, he knows what's going to happen. Like I said, that watching that Chosen's been very interesting, because you can imagine when somebody starts to tell Jesus something and he finishes the guy's sentence, and like, I bet that's really the way it is talking to Jesus and talking to God. You know? Because he already knows. He formed us, y'all, in our mother's womb. He knows us. We have to accept his timing. Number three, learn to rely on God. Proverbs 16:9 says that we make our plans, but he makes the steps, directs our path. Now, here's a good one. Number four. What comes out of your mouth? Well, Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is in the tongue. And that's the truth. Because we all know stories about stories, you know, and I've witnessed them. You have people go, oh, I think I'm catching a cold. You know what happens the next day? They got a cold. But Ricky's one of these that says, I feel like I don't feel that good, but I'm healed in Jesus' name by his stripes. See, I start speaking over whatever's coming over me instead of going, I think I'm catching a cold. No. Who wants to catch a cold in the first place? I mean, right? Yeah. See, we have to watch what comes out of our mouth, because when we're on that plateau and we're trying to grow those roots, if we aren't watching what comes out of our mouth, we're going to tear down what we just went up that incline for. Amen. Amen. And what's the use of going up that incline when you get there if you just tear it down with what comes out of your mouth? Yeah. And you know, I preached on that before, and I've told y'all, get you an accounting partner. My wife, boy, she does it whether I ask her to or not. But it's okay, because I need that. You know, we all forget sometime. You know, it's like, if I read this somewhere one time, Capps wrote this in a book, another book I read. He said that pastor asked his congregation, what would you say if I told you Jesus would show up today? They say, oh, that'd tickle me to death. So you'd really like to be tickled to death. I mean, you see, and people go, oh, well, that's just a saying. You know what, though? The more that comes out of our mouth that way, your mind will start believing and you'll start walking on that. Amen? So what we say affects what we do. That I love that person, that I love you, and I love you. I love y'all. I mean that. See, what comes out of your mouth? Don't tear up what you've worked with God to build. Amen? What number was that?
Four.
Number five. This is kind of a combo, but we're just going to say pray. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, 16 first says, rejoice evermore. 17 says, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18 says, do it with thanksgiving. Now, when we learn how to do that, when we learn how, we should rejoice every day. Was it you, baby, that told me that the other? She said that every time we rejoice, Jesus smiles. Think about that. That makes me want to rejoice even more. See, every time that we pray and when we thank God, man, they're doing the in heaven. When we thank Jesus for what He did for us, man, they are fired up. They're fired up this morning because of how our service started this morning. Man, y'all ushered in the Holy Spirit with your voices. And man, they're up there going, woo! Yeah, listen to Williamson County Cowboy Church this morning. Man, they got up singing in the shower and they were warmed up. Yeah. See, that's what happens is we usher that in. We usher that in. Don't. Did everybody get that? Don't? Okay, just checking. Don't leave here after the service, and tomorrow you're back in the same old thing. Amen. Do not do it. Amen. Leave here this afternoon going, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm where I'm supposed to be. That you have what you have for me, you're going to show it to me in your time, not mine. And you can say, if you say it with gritted teeth, just ask for forgiveness when you... Y'all, don't go back to what you were before you came in here this morning. Amen. Go love on people. Know that feeling that we had. Oh, embrace the plateau. Embrace the plateau. Did y'all get something this morning? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Father. You know, we never do a service without giving somebody to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's our pastor's mission, is this church, first and foremost, is to get people saved. We don't want to see anybody going to hell. And yes, there is a place hell, and there is a place heaven. You have a choice. We can't make you. God can't make you. But right now, I want to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to ask all the believers to say this. You know, I'm going to tell you real quick, because I do this ever so often, because it's an experience I had, and I think it's good for people to know. When I was younger, I was in a church, a denominational church, and I played the violin and the music. And then later in years, after I got married, we were going to have our baby baptized at church. Preacher asked me, he says, "You saved?" I went, I believe in God. I mean, no, but are you saved? I went, I don't know. I've been going to this church for 7 years. He said, "Well, if you haven't confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior out of your mouth, then you're not saved. And we can't baptize your baby." Okay, so I was saved. I said a prayer with him. But my whole deal was, I've been going there 7 years. And not once did I hear him do an altar call from that pulpit. Did he give somebody the opportunity in 7 years to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may have been to one of those denominational churches. You may be like me. And I'm not, I will tell you, because I want you saved. I don't want you going to hell. But you may have gone to one of those denominational churches. It's hard to say. But you may have gone to one of those churches and just like me thought, "Well, I don't know." Okay. We don't do that here. We give you an opportunity every week to accept Jesus Christ. Amen. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I beg you to do it right now. Make Him the Lord of your life right now. We're going to say this prayer out loud, and we're going to ask believers to say it out loud with us. You don't have to come down to the front or anything like that, but right where you're sitting, every head bowed, every eye closed, just out of respect to others. Believers, y'all say it with us. Say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. Father, I thank you that you sent him to save me, Father. Father, I thank you that I have Jesus as I go from glory to glory. And I thank you, today is my God day. In Jesus' name." Before we look up, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if that was you that just confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, all I'm going to do right now is just, on the count of three, is I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up, put it right back down. We want to give you a Bible. But the Word says that do not be afraid to acknowledge me before man, and I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So if you accepted Jesus just now on the count of three, get that hand up real quick. Be bold. 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Anybody, be bold. All right, y'all look at me. Everybody's saved, so you have a job this week. Your job is to bring more people to church, right? Amen. Thank y'all. It's an honor that I get to minister to y'all. Thank you. Come on up, Howdy.